Hello, Tosh, got a Toshiba. Hello, Tosh, got a Toshiba.
Hello, this is Ian Lee. Welcome to episode 3 of the 2013 remixed, remastered, extended Ian Lee Pocket Radio Show thing. This is kind of the slow progression of me adding extra bits and taking a few bits out that didn't quite work and then re-releasing the Pocket Radio Show back to you. The dear listener, for free and to keep forever. It was a true success. The Pocket Radio Show, 13 episodes, had over 1.3 million downloads. That's a real figure. Can you believe that? So I thought I'd re-release them into the wild and add some more bits. Sorry it's taken so long to do episode 3. A lot's been going on. Some of it quite personal that I won't go into. You know, the things that we all go through in life. So why would you be particularly interested in that? And also, I've moved house. And this is why this might sound a little bit funny, because even though I've moved house, I'm using a different luxury recording studio that's no longer in London, so it might sound a bit echoey as we haven't got the curtain. There are no mufflers over the windows. And also, I can't remember how to use the equipment. So I've got it set up slightly wrong. So anyway, it doesn't matter. So episode 3, special guest was Peter Talk. It was just after Davy Jones had died, which I'm recording this the day before Davy Jones died, a year later. He died on a leap year, the 29th. So I'm kind of commemorating it today, the 28th of February, and tomorrow, the 1st of March. But so Peter Talk from the Monkees is the special guest on this. Got some phone calls, and then for the extended bit at the end, I've kind of whacked on the interview I did with Michael Nesmith of the Monkees. I thought you lot might like to hear that. So, without further ado, here's episode 3.
Hello.
Hi, Vinny.
Hey.
Have you heard from Ian?
Yeah, I heard a bit from Ian. You know, I'll speak to him now again on Facebook, but that's about it.
He's not on the podcast yet.
Nah. I want to be on it, but I don't think he wants us to.
I was on for like 2 seconds, literally on the last one. I was well annoyed because he told me to plan loads of stuff for it, and then
but nothing for you. I've been phoning for years. I think I've known him longer than you have. I think 7 years or so, and he doesn't let me be on his podcast.
I worked for him for years as well, and you'd think that he'd let us on, but I don't think he wants us, Vinny. I'm a bit upset about it. But I miss you, Vinny.
All right, I miss you too.
I love you.
I love you too.
Bye.
I think I have to go now.
Is your mum coming?
Hello you, thank you very much for downloading episode 3 of the Ian Lee Pocket Radio Show. We're doing superbly well in the iTunes charts, we keep popping up in the top 10, and it's all down to you, thank you very much. If you do download this from iTunes, go and leave a nice comment, and I don't know, maybe a 5-star review. I wouldn't want to prejudice you in any way whatsoever. On today's show, we've got your phone calls, we've got your audio boos, and also we've got an interview with Monkey Peter Talk. Now, anyone who knows me knows I'm a huge fan of the Monkees, my favourite group of all time. And it's not an understatement to say I was devastated when I heard that Davy Jones had passed away. Really lucky that Peter Talk has agreed to come on and share his thoughts about the passing of Davy. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy, and we'll start off with some of your phone calls. And we're talking about, should you cry when celebrities die? There's absolutely nothing on TV and the Olympics. Really? Line 6, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Hi, it's Colin here from Adelaide. How you doing?
Hello, fella. How you doing? You're right.
I'm bad, thank you. How's life?
Well, you know, it's... how is life? It's all right. I'm a bit down with the news of Davy Jones.
But, yeah, I'd read that.
Apart from that, everything's okay.
Good, good.
What can I do for you?
I was going to answer 3 questions about the Olympics, crying over a singer or a celeb. What was the third question?
The third question was, everything is on television is utter rubbish.
Well, I must admit, I don't watch much now living in Australia, but Aussie
TV...
They
have TV in Australia, don't they, I think?
They mainly show British comedy.
Right, oh crikey.
At the moment, and it's repeated stuff like, Yes Minister, Yes Prime Minister.
Jesus, that's from the 1900s. And it was that's like posh comedy, which is not actually funny, but it's clever.
Yeah. And they do a lot of repeats of things like, Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men, 70 Show, so that's all. But some of the Aussie comedy can be quite funny, but there's not really like comedy shows. Comedy.
Two and a Half Men is rubbish, isn't it? It's just like a really boring formulaic sitcom.
No, I thought it was okay, but there were certain times I just thought that was a bit tiresome. But it was. I did enjoy it.
But I don't, because I tried it and I watched it, and I just thought, well, I don't get it. I don't get what's so unique and so clever and so funny about this. It's been going for like a million seasons, as they call it in the States, and there's just, it's nothing. It's no My Two Dads.
Oh, right, yeah, you're showing your age.
Yay, I used to love My Two Dads.
Well, imagine watching that now.
Okay, I am imagining it. It's wicked, with Greg Evigan. With Greg Evigan and the bloke from Alien 2, or 3, I think it is. Awesome.
And he hasn't done much since.
He's not done a lot, bless him. But then who has? Who has?
Well, the thing about your... I read the article on Facebook when you said about Davy Jones had passed away.
I
must admit, I sat back and thought about it. And when you asked the question about what celeb and singer, I must admit, I cried when Freddie Mercury passed away.
Did you really? Now, I'm going to be very polite and lovely here with everyone, because up until Davy Jones dying, I shed a little tear when George Harrison died, just like a little tear. And I was very depressed when Arthur Lee died. But when Davy Jones died, man, I was sobbing like a bait, like sobbing, you know. And was that what you were like with Freddie, or was it a bit more subtle?
It was a bit more subtle, because I remember I was like, I'd have been about 17 when he passed away. And the thing was, my mum came upstairs, and he was ill at the time, and my family knew that I was a big Queen fan, and I think they must have been watching the Sky News that weekend, and she caught popped up, and as everyone was going to bed, I was already in my pit, and she just came into my bedroom and just sort of subtly said something, and I was like, all right, fair enough, and then nodded, and that was it. So it was a bit lump in my throat. It was upset at the time, and then you sort of felt a bit down. Every time you saw anyone discussed it, you did get a bit emotional. But
why did you cry? Because the thing is, I don't know Davy Jones. I've met him a couple of times. Yeah, I don't know him, but he's been with me since I was 8 years old. But I was sobbing like my dad had died or something.
Yeah, I think the same thing you just said there was that I'd never met him, never knew him. He never knew me. You know, this is Freddie Mercury.
Yeah,
but I've been listening to the music and followed the band for quite a long time, and. Just someone so not wasn't even influential in my life, but someone who was so lovely a singer and flamboyant a character, just to then not be with us anymore.
Yeah, Colin, I'm going to move on because I don't want to do the whole show. But thank you very much for that,
Ian.
Who's this?
It's Spencer.
Hello, Spencer.
Oh, how's it going, man?
It's going all right.
I'm not actually up to speed with the topic this evening.
You've done what? Sorry, your phone's breaking up. Say that again.
I'm not actually up to speed with the topics this evening. What are we talking about?
Well, the topics are only a vague guide, but I'll throw them at you. The first one is, have you ever cried at a celebrity's death?
I have never cried at a celebrity's death, I'm afraid. Go on.
Well, no, don't be afraid. But is there anybody that you respect that much that you kind of think if they passed away, you might shed a little tear? I tell you why, because I sobbed like a baby this week when I heard that Davy Jones of the Monkees had died. I was sobbing and inconsolable.
You know, I saw that on the front page of the newspaper. The first person I thought of was you. I thought Ian will be devastated.
Oh, bless you, man. A lot of people sent me some very nice tweets saying a very similar thing. And the Monkees were a huge part of my life, you know. And for one of them to go, and for Davey to go. Davey was not meant... He was supposed to be the last man standing. And for him to go was... okay, but there's no one that you would consider yourself... You consider you might cry for.
I'm afraid I'm not so seduced by the celebrity culture. Now, I can understand your deep sort of childhood attachment to Davy Jones, I'm not so seduced by our current celebrity culture that
I don't. Good for you, because it is odd. Part of me thinks that weeping for someone who you don't really know is kind of, it's got to be more than that, hasn't it? You've got to be crying for something else or somebody else.
For some emotional attachment, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Okay. Next topic. Everything on television at the moment is utter, utter rubbish.
Thank you. Someone agrees with me.
It's tosh, isn't it? I'm so close to junk. If I didn't play Xbox or PlayStation, I would junk my TV because there is nothing on there at all.
I think the real problem is that series that used to be really, really good get to their sort of fourth or fifth season and suddenly they're absolute pony. Yeah. There is absolutely...
Give me an example.
I will give you an example. Doctor Who is these days beyond awful. When it started off, I think it peaked around series two or three.
Let's clarify here, young man. You're talking about the Doctor Who reboot. You're not talking about Doctor Who Classic.
I am not, I'm afraid, talking about Doctor Who.
That's fine.
Just where we're standing. A current television situation. Doctor Who, the new one, peaked around sort of series two or three with David Tennant. And these days, this awful Matt Smith and this, I have some respect for this ginger girl. She's a fellow Scot.
Let's be honest. Let's not beat around the bush unless we have to. She's hot.
I don't agree.
Man, come on! What are you talking about? What is it? Of course she is.
I think she looks a little bit like a horse.
Horses are sexy. Do you not think of all the animals, right? The horse, and I would say the young cat, not the kitten, that would be inappropriate, but the young cat. The horse and the young cat, very, very flirtatious animals. Have you ever seen a horse? Have you ever walked behind a horse, right, and the horse has turned her head and looked at you over her shoulder? You've got to admit that that has fired off a little something in you, hasn't it?
I really don't want to make you feel like you're the only one, so I'm going to be coming here and say yes, Ian.
I have been very much turned on by a horse.
Now,
I'm not saying turned on, but imagine, right, a lovely horse. It's all brushed, not the dirty ones covered in mud, right? And it's got ribbons in its hair, and it just turns and it's a little bit cross-eyed as well, and it just turns over its shoulder and sort of looks at you and goes. Come on, you can't say that that doesn't give a stirring, because that is not intellectual. That is that runs deeper than that. That's in your blood.
I suppose that our primitive ancestry appreciated the beauty of a horse and could see its noble steed status.
That's what we're talking about for the rest of the show, is sexy animals. that's how this
I think you're starting to get away with stuff that you couldn't get away with on the radio, aren't you?
Yeah, well, just about. We'll push it as much as we can. Line 4, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Good evening, Ian. It's Gafford.
Oh, for goodness.
I'm in the Soho area, Ian.
What?
The comment on the last podcast about me being tubby. We're going to have this out.
Okay.
I've got my GPS tracker.
Okay.
I'm going to find your studio. It'd be easier just now if you just open the door in Soho and let me in.
I am, of course, in my luxury recording studio in Soho, and I'm afraid, Gatford, the location is TS. That's top secret to you, and I will not be telling you where it is.
I have some tracking software, and this call is being traced, so stay on
and
the line.
I have some cut-off software, and this call is being cut off. Line 3, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
This is Hippie Steve, mate. Ian, is that you?
Is that you, Hippie Steve?
Yeah, this is me.
This is me?
Listen, are you still having a problem with your mosque?
My mosque? I'm quite happy for them to build a mosque wherever they want. I'm, you know...
Mosques?
No, we moved house.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that's what it came to. We moved house. Although, we've
just
spotted
to escape
a couple,
the moths?
Not just to escape the moths. There were other reasons, but that was definitely in the list of things.
Right, okay. Have you got some more?
Some have appeared. I'm guessing we've brought some with us.
You need to get some citronella.
I've tried all that. None of that stuff works, dude.
And then you need to light it.
What?
Like an essential oil.
Yeah.
Light it, right? And then the moths are attracted to the flame, and then they die.
Right.
That's what you need. And also, are you still in the mood for an argument?
Well, it depends if you think you can give me one.
Well, I'm just, like, the categories you're coming up with, right?
Yeah, go on.
I could, when you were doing like the daily radio show, fair enough, you know.
It wasn't daily, it was 4 days a week, but yes, carry on, yes.
Well, you haven't got a lot of time to think about them, you know, you just sort of grab whatever comes up, right?
Okay.
But now you've got like a whole week to come up with them, and I don't think they're very inspiring.
What are you talking about? Okay, so the three I've got tonight are, everything on TV is rubbish. Is anyone bothered about the Olympics? Have you ever cried at a celebrity's death? What's not inspiring about those? They cover the whole range, the whole depth, and indeed the breadth of humanity.
Well, I don't know. I mean, fair enough, the Olympics. I mean, that's going to be great for the nation. That's a given, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not a given. It's going to be terrible for the nation, particularly as I predict there is going to be some form of terrorist atrocity taking place. And this is no way me making light. I'm not making light of
really?
It.
Really?
I genuinely think that's going to happen.
But don't you think they've got like everything in place to stop that?
No, they can't.
And instead of worrying about you know, what may happen, we need to concentrate on the good things that will come from the Olympics. You know, the country needs a lift.
What good thing will come from the Olympics? Some people will
together.
Run fast. Some people
the coming
will
together
jump
of
high.
A nation as they as they witness amazing.
Together? How are we going to come together? Because a man jumped high.
It's a televisual community event, isn't it? Everybody comes together to support
that.
The home nations, and it engenders, that's a good word, isn't it?
What does it mean?
Of national pride.
Yeah. What you've said there
you know,
is you've
we
just
could
said,
do
you've
with
said
a bit
people,
of that at the
you've
minute,
just said
could
people,
we not?
Shut up. You've just said people are going to come together by watching it on the television, one of the most isolating activities known to humankind.
Hello.
Oh, don't do the old pretend you can't hear me nonsense. Utter shambles. Line two, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
One of the biggest issues is the serious misuse of the...
Tissues?
Tissues.
Oh, it's been a long time. It's been a very long time. Line two, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Hi, Ian. It's Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan. It's Ian.
How are you doing?
I'm doing.
You're doing. Okay.
I didn't bring enough tea with me up to my up to the luxury recording studio in Soho, so I've
they
run
do
out
have
of
a
tea.
Lack of tea there.
Yeah, I've run out of tea. It's my last little bit. Hang on.
Is that some good tea?
That's some good tea, man. It's rooibos, but it's rooibos with vanilla, which is it's not great. It's mistakes like that that will keep this podcast out of the top 10.
Yeah, you need proper tea, man.
I need proper tea, man, if I want to maintain my position of number... I think we're number six at the moment. Anyway, yes, what do you want, Jonathan?
What are the topics today, then?
Oh, man, go onto the internet and find out what they are. I can't be bothered. Line one, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Hi, it's Jenny. I'm just wondering how are things going with Set the Agenda?
Hello, Jenny. Set the Agenda's cancelled.
Why?
Because I sold 32 tickets, which is nowhere... I probably would have sold a few more if I'd have held my nerve, but it's nowhere near enough.
Have you ever thought about having it on a Saturday night?
Yeah, I have. The thing is the venue is brilliant, and the venue is only free Sundays, Wednesdays or Thursdays. So...
Thursdays are good.
I'm gonna try either a Wednesday or Thursday. It's good for you, is it? Thursday would be good for you. Okay, well, let me just put that down. What was your name again?
It's Jenny Lowe.
Jenny, so Thursday would be good for you, Jenny, yeah?
Yep.
What kind of time would you like it, Jenny?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. And what time do you need to get away?
Any time. Fine. Thursday night for me, Friday.
Okay. And do you work on Friday?
Yes.
But it doesn't matter if you go in hungover or and smelling a booze.
No, that's fine. I'm a veterinary nurse, so it'll be fine.
The animals aren't going to know, are they? And you don't need to be that accurate when you're injecting an animal. I think you can pretty much do it anyway. Hey, if you're a vet, right, and you saw an old man collapsing in the street, and they said, or you're on an aeroplane, okay, and someone collapses, and the stewardess says, "Is there a doctor on the plane?" And no doctor puts their hand up. Would you be able to step forward and possibly save his life?
That has happened to me on the train, unfortunately, and everyone looks round, and you're still sitting there, and you're like, maybe I should get up now.
And did you do anything?
I got up and walk out. Well, I said, I'm a veterinary nurse, and the train driver goes, "Well, I'm just a train driver," and I was like, okay, then. Well, I'm not going to be able to do anything.
Did you? Well, you could make him swallow a pill while you hold his head still.
Yeah, I kind of blabbed my way through it.
You could insert your finger up his anus and get any of the discharge out. So did you save the man's life, or did he...
It was a girl. Yeah, no, she was fine. She was fine. She was carted off in the ambulance.
Jenny, listen, thank you very much. Nice to talk to you. Oh, I'm having fun tonight. Line 6, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Hello, it's Andrew in Germany.
Hello, Andrew in Germany. What can I do for thee?
Oh, I was listening to the second episode, and yeah. I thought, oh, God, he's on right now. So I've called up.
Well, yeah, I am on right now.
Right now. So I had a look on Facebook, looking at the topics.
Yes.
And the TV topic.
Yeah, go on. All TV is rubbish.
How about you state your case in a bit more detail?
Okay. You know all TV, yeah?
Yeah, it's rubbish, isn't it?
Correct. There is nothing decent on at all. I don't know, I'm guessing German TV is even worse than British TV, but I cannot think of one programme, apart from Jeremy Kyle, but that is rubbish, but I enjoy it. I can't think of anything I could actually sit down and watch all the way through and set us to go, oh, this is on 8 o'clock tonight, I'm going to watch this.
You ready?
You're gone.
Fringe.
Okay, now, what you've done there is you have bowled what I believe in cricketing terms is known as a googly. First of all, Fringe is American, so it's not British. All British TV is rubbish. Also, I don't watch Fringe on the TV. I watch that online. So, technically, it's a computer programme.
I wasn't aware of the British TV aspect.
Well, no, I think I may have just introduced that that you you kicked me in the testicles. I think I may be cheating slightly in this argument.
Fringe, in that case, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. Fringe is excellent, but I don't. It's not on the TV over here anymore. I don't think the season
is
4 is. I don't think season 4. They showed it on Sky, and for ages I was trying to sell Sky me doing a podcast for Fringe, like I used to do with Lost, and they said, "Well, we'd love to." But nobody watches Fringe. It gets awful, awful viewing figures over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I don't think anyone watches it apart from me and you, obviously. It's brilliant. Amazing. The fourth season's been the best one yet.
It is brilliant. And I'm a couple of episodes behind on the fourth season, so hush thy tongue.
Absolutely.
Anything else?
That's it.
Ta-ta. Line 3, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Hi, it's Mr. Fuzzy.
Who's this?
Mr. Fuzzy.
Oh, what can I do for you?
I was just calling about some of your topics.
Yeah, go on.
Never quite a celeb death.
Is your mouth anywhere near the mouthpiece, or are you just shouting at me through an old Coke can?
It's literally right next to it, and it's not on speakerphone.
Jeez, this is awful. Okay, we'll bear with it, but I'll probably cut
it out. I can put it a bit closer, but it's just going to get muffled, because it's literally...
Yeah, no, it just sounds like you're talking... No, it just sounds like you're talking like that, so you can't hear anything.
I can't hear you,
know.
No,
exactly. Okay, go on. Yes, we can make you just about make you out, yes.
The celebrity death thing, I'm a sociopath, so that doesn't bother me.
Okay.
We should all be a little bit like that, basically, fair, because we're not really anything to do with these celebs.
No, I kind of agree. But I went when the monkey, Davy Jones, died this week, I sobbed like a baby. And I couldn't. I knew I'd be sad when a monkey died. I'm obsessed with them. Yeah. But I didn't know I would cry like my own brother had passed away. It was weird. And I was questioning it, but I still did it.
I would cry more if a real monkey died.
Yeah. Imagine if you had to kill that monkey as well.
That wouldn't bother me.
Really?
Yeah, that wouldn't bother me. If it was my choice that the monkey died,
yep.
I'd be all right with that. But if the monkey just died of old age or something horrible, that would upset me.
I once had to smash a kitten's head in with a brick.
Yeah, some of the things I've had to do to kittens, I'm not even going to get into that.
No, I bet you didn't even have to do it. I had to do it. I saw him get run over and he didn't die.
Yeah, I had to do it. Okay. I had no choice. When the eyeball's popping out... And
oh, my goodness gracious me. For goodness sakes, what horrible people we have listening to this show.
We're balconyshirts.co.uk. Put a little spunk in your wardrobe today. T-shirts, hoodies, wallets, watches and more. We're your ironic retro online superstore.
Balconyshirts.co.uk. For 20% off everything, use promo code POCKETRADIO.
Very lucky to speak to Peter Tork this week from the Monkees, of course. Shame it wasn't under better circumstances. He gave me some time to talk about the passing of Davy Jones. If you want to find out more about Peter's solo stuff, petertork.com. I've also made up a Spotify playlist of what I consider to be the 10 essential Davy Jones Monkees songs. If you go to the Pocket Radio Show page on ianlee.com, you can find the link there. Here's my chat with Peter Tork. Peter, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. You probably don't remember, I interviewed you a couple of times a few years ago when you came over. a huge fan of yours, your solo work, that little pop group you're in for a short while. I don't know if you remember those guys. I don't know how to start this, really, because I just, you know, first of all, I want to pass on my condolences. I was really sad when Davey passed away. I was with my two-year-old boy. I was singing Daydream Believer to him to get him to sleep. And I had a text come through. And I was devastated. I burst into tears because you guys have been part of my life since I was 8 years old. And I was wondering how you heard about Davey's passing.
Mutual friend called me on the phone. Just a lady who has been part of particularly Davey's scene, but also partly mine, whom I've been friends with, like I said, mutual friend. And she called distraught, and I knew something was wrong, but I had no intimations. You know, Mickey says he slept badly the night before and was pretty sure there was something wrong. But I had no such foretelling. But of course it was stunning when I heard. I've been trying to find ways to describe it, and none become remotely adequate. Every time I try, something is really missing. So I just have to leave it that, you know, I was stunned, enveloped with stun, as it were. And
stunned is the right word, because, you know, he was 66, I think, which is no age at all.
Well, the youngest of us.
The youngest. A jockey. He exercised, a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And it's I think part of the problem I'm having with it is just the suddenness of it, that it came from nowhere.
Seems to have. You know, I hold as a philosophical starting point that everything has reason, has cause, as opposed to no reason or no cause. So I understand in a pretty maybe a little bit theoretical, but I do understand that there are reasons for this. The suddenness of it was that we did not see this coming. We did not know. He may have had, I understand he had some arrhythmia, and it may have been in the cards all along, and maybe any doctor would have told him, you know, could happen at any time, but they didn't spot it, and everybody assumed that he was all right, and maybe he has been not all right for a long time. Yeah, it was sudden. It was very sudden. It's not the same as if you, get a terminal disease where you can anticipate, but the suddenness of it, it's true. If it's a terminal disease, you sort of acclimatize yourself.
You can prepare for it. You know, it's still a horrible thing, of course, but there is an element of finishing things and saying goodbye and coming to a natural conclusion, isn't there? If it's a disease like that,
that's right. Yeah. If you know somebody is going, then you make your peace with them and send them on their way. You don't get a chance to do that when it happens like this, which is certainly too bad.
One thing that has surprised me, I think, because I kind of thought that you guys were my own dirty little secret, but there has been an amazing outpouring of love, not just for Davey, but for all four of you, I think. You know, that it's and hopefully it's reminded you of the affection that a lot of people have for all of you.
Yeah, it's been very surprising to me. A friend of mine, you know, talking to me, said, "Well, you know, your obit's going to be in the New York Times, which is, of course, you know, the highest mark of fame possible." And then when Davey went to Discover, not only was it a mark not only was his obit in the Times, but it was front page news, and it is still part of the news cycle.
Front page news around the world as well.
Around the world, yes. And all of primarily the English-speaking countries, of course, and Japan. It was. I'm amazed at the how long it went on. I went on Rachel Maddow show here. I don't know if you don't get that.
We there, don't get it, but I have seen it, yes.
Yeah. It's online. It's possible to see. And she's a favorite of mine, and when they told her that I was coming on the show, she told me that she thought they were having her on. So, which is surprising to me because, of course, you know. So it's amazing to me the influence and the power and the reach. Yeah, I was really surprised.
Some people unfairly criticized your appearance on that, saying that you came across Oh, I don't know. I thought you came across... How hard must it be to speak about someone who's passed away that has been a part of your life for 45 years? You know, it's an incredible... I can't even begin to imagine what's going through your head, Peter.
Yeah, sorry. It is difficult. As to the Rachel show, I just have to... I believe what happened there was that Rachel and I were kind of caught up in the initial... monkey's fervor.
Yeah.
We wound up not actually having time. I did put in an explanation. If you go back to Rachel's website and go onto her blog, they have posted my post-Rachel comment, wherein I talk about the things that I had hoped and meant to talk about, the significance of the monkeys and my sadness at Davy's passing. Those were the things that I had actually gone on there in hopes of talking about, and sort of just the segment just got away from us both.
Of course it does. Live TV, there's always someone shouting in someone's ear. Hey, listen, I saw you guys at the Royal Albert Hall last year. I saw you in 1989 at the Royal Albert Hall, and then I saw you again this last year.
Uh-huh.
And I was amazed for loads of reasons. I mean, you're 70 now, are you, sir?
I am.
Who'd have thought Peter Talk is 70 years old? And you boys, it was one of the most energetic shows. What was it, 2.5 hours, something like 35 songs?
That's right, yeah.
Why did you put yourself through that, Peter?
Well, because that's what it takes to make a great show. It was not tiring.
Really?
I mean, yes, it was tiring.
Yeah.
But it was not exhausting. It was energizing, you know, to do those shows in front of everybody, to get to play those songs, to get to goof with those guys, two of the funniest men I know of, much less know, just to get into that show with those guys was such a joy, you know, to play in front of all those people and listen. They gave me a shot. I told some jokes. They laughed. What else can a man want?
But the highlight for me, you picked some amazing songs. And I thought what was great about this tour, compared to some of the other tours I've seen you do, is that you kind of took the foot off the comedy and you went, do you know what? We've got some brilliant songs and we're going to play them for you. And you did I Don't Think You Know Me At All. And as soon as you went into that, I thought, yeah, these guys have really thought about this set list this time.
Yeah, it was lovely. We don't actually, I think, in fact, I sang it on record when it was first produced.
Yeah.
And they said, well, let's have one of the other lads sing it, which was okay with me. I wasn't very confident at the time. But they gave it, Davey basically structured that show. And he gave me that song to sing, and it was like being honored, you know, it's like being knighted or something, to get that song to sing, because it really is some wonderful things about that song, and I really did love singing it.
And it was a beautiful footage at the back on that huge screen. That must have taken hours to put together, all the images from the decades.
Uh huh. Yeah, a friend of ours, Rachel, whose last name escapes me. Put that all together. It did a great job, and we were just delighted to have that stuff.
Were any of those concerts recorded or filmed, or is there any chance of them being released at all?
I don't think so.
Oh, man alive.
There's a chance. One of Davey's friends on the road with us had a nice little pocket video camera, but I don't think we have any major league. Okay. A high quality video, I'm sad to say.
Someone has edited, I don't know what your views are on bootlegs these days, but someone has edited from YouTube all of the mobile phone footage that people have taken, and they've spent hours on it, and they've put together an excellent multi-camera show with the phone footage.
I actually love bootleg, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. I have... it's not against my own, it's against my own financial interest.
Yeah.
But I'm a Democrat. I mean, with a small D. I believe in spreading the wealth. Where am I going to find that phone camera?
Listen, let me. I'll email Pam. Give me an address, and I'll send it over to you. I've got a copy. I've also got some amazing stuff from you in the 70s and 80s. If you want it as well.
Sure. publicity@petertork.com.
Man, I will send it all over. Very quickly, I know you've got to go off and you're a very busy man. Can I ask, the very first time you met Davy Jones, do you remember that?
Yes, I do. But it wasn't anything special. I actually saw him once and found out later it was him before that. We were, I was sitting in the cattle call, you know, there was the auditions, there were like dozens of guys sitting around waiting to be auditioned. And Jonesy walked through and into one of the producer's office, just, you know, as just as self-assured as anybody would want to be.
He was a cocky little so-and-so when he was 17, 18 years old, I think we can say.
I wouldn't have said so exactly myself. Wouldn't have used that word, but he was pretty upright. He was on his toes, all right. But the main thing was that I was going, you know, who is this so-and-so? And I myself was deeply jealous. And the meeting was, I had never seen Mickey before in my life, as far as I knew, when we met. Mm. You guys are the Monkees. How do you do? How do you do? Shake hands.
How strange.
Do. I knew Mike. I'd seen Davey that one other time.
Yeah.
Mickey and Mike had known each other. But we basically, you know, I knew Mike because he was a folkie on the scene in L.A. And he was running the, what we called the Hootenannies then, the open mics.
Yeah.
What do you call that? Compere now? You know, what we call the MC.
Yeah, compere. Yeah, MC. Yeah.
Okay. So that was the first time I met Davey. Nothing happened. It was just, how do you do? Uh-huh.
Have you spoken to Mike or Mickey at all?
We are in touch. Right. I've spoken to Mickey. Mike and I have been back and forth with emails.
Hey, that's something, because I know there was a little bit of tension between you and Michael. So that's nice to hear that you've communicated.
It is good to hear. I don't know how much tension there was between me and Michael. You know, you make your move. You what they say, you pay your money and takes your choice.
Yeah.
You hear that expression? And we just went our separate ways for a while, just because that's what we did. I bore him no ill will, particularly, certainly. I have a lot of respect and admiration for, and some affection for Mike. And I'm glad to be back in touch with him, especially over, you know, beautiful. We closed, Mickey and Mike and I sort of closed ranks in shock and reactivity to this this really crazy event. It's such a stunner.
Any plans for you three to do anything, a tribute, or are you just going to leave it now?
Well, I'd like to. I would imagine, for one thing, you know, Davey was. I was going to say a fan. That's absolutely the wrong expression. He was taken very badly taken by his knowledge of the plight of victims of MS, multiple sclerosis. So it would be fitting if we could get together, do some show, you know, have a little fun. You know, you saw George Harrison's tribute.
Oh, everyone
was having a good time doing that, you know. And so in other words, meaning no respect, having a good time, if you know.
No, of course. I think you can celebrate someone's life like that.
Yeah. So we could get together, enjoy each other's company in memory of Davey, and send some bounty to the MS research.
It's a great charity. My mother has MS, and it's a hideous disease, and it's a wonderful charity, so good for you.
A friend of mine has it as well.
It's horrible.
Final
question, sir, then I'll let you go. Blue, I can never say it, and I hate you for naming your band this. Shoe Suede Blues.
There you go.
Thank you. I'll cut that bit out. I'll make me sound good.
No, you tell you what, you say it three or four times real fast, you can never say the name of the song again.
No, it's a cracking little band. Are you going to come back to the UK and do some more shows? Because I know you've been over a few times and people have loved you, and it'll be lovely to see you again.
It would be a thrill to come over. I have no plans at the moment, but I think perhaps we will get something going one of these days. Yes, it would be such a joy. I'm quite the Anglophile myself.
Come and stay at my house if it's money you're worried about. Listen, I've got a spare room. I can put all of you up. You can sleep on the floor, but you're more than welcome.
What a good idea! Thank you. Maybe we'll do that.
Peter, listen.
Appreciate the offer.
It's so lovely to talk to you. It's a shame it's under such sad circumstances, but I really appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, Ian. It's a pleasure to have a moment just to remember and to be, you know, to be grateful for having had him in my life. It's true.
I'm at the BBC with Dougie Anderson. Hello, Dougie.
Hi, Ian.
Now, we're trying to sell clip joints. People should come to clip joint. Why?
Well, first up, it's a heck of a good night out in London's West End at the Prince Charles Cinema.
Correct.
We've done one there so far at the Prince Charles. We've done a few clip joints before that in Camden, which gave us a feeling of, if I may say, Camdemonium. But we have moved on. We have moved on. We had Miles Jupp as our special guest.
I miss being near Belushi's bar, though. Mm. There was a real vibe that place gave off.
Yeah, and also there is still something of the Britpops about the place.
Yeah.
Not the West
Madness.
End. Yes, yes. And the Blue Tones. But we have moved on. We've moved upwards. We're in the West End at the aforementioned Prince Charles. We had Miles Jupp as our special guest.
Who was excellent.
For the February show. This time it's a change of the sexes,
yes.
But a similar vein of laughs. We have Josie Long, of course.
She's good.
She is very good.
Her sister once got very drunk and sat on my lap. She just won a hairdressing award.
Mm-hmm. And great sibling activity there from the aforementioned sister sitter. I already have a couple of things I'm going to show. You're still deciding at the moment.
I've possibly got at least one thing, and yep. I'm going to research some more. Bring your own, if you're coming, bring your own clips. That's the important thing. On the digital versatile disc, DVD for short, bring those clips along. No long, about sort of 45 minutes to a minute and a half is kind of perfect.
Whoa, 45 minutes to a minute and a half?
Whoa.
Because the show has got a running time about 50 minutes. So what we're seeing is we're going to have 45 minutes of audience clips and 5 minutes of us. That's going to be a difficult sell.
45 seconds then. Should we compromise and say
yes.
that?
Yes.
45 seconds to a minute and a half. The Prince Charles Cinema, Sunday, March the 18th. Go to the Prince Charles website and you can see how... It's only £6.50, I think, for tickets.
Yes. And £4 for members. And I don't know, do you have to pay to become a member of the Prince Charles?
Yes.
Okay, how much is it?
It's £10.
So probably best, if you just want to come on along to our show, don't become a member. Just come along and pay the £6.50 because you'll be saving what would be 14 takeaway £6.50. What's that? You're saving about £18. So that has to be viewed as a bonus in this age of austerity.
Dougie, I'll see you on Sunday, March the 18th at Clip Joint, Prince Charles Cinema.
I look forward to it, but also very much looking forward to watching you at the moment.
Let's see who we've got here. Line 7, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Hi, it's Paul.
Hello, Paul, what can I do for you?
Just about your topics.
Yeah, go on.
So, you said about crying about celebrities that have died.
Yes.
I don't get why people do that. You don't know the person. Mm. Yeah, you know, it's a sad thing when anyone goes, but crying because someone you've seen on a stage or TV, you know, a bit over the top.
I agree with you. I totally, totally agree with you. And that's what confuses me when Davy Jones died this week and I sobbed like a baby.
Why? Why? I know you've probably met people in the Monkees. Did you know him as a person or just someone you'd seen?
I met him twice. Didn't really speak to him very much. I interviewed him on the phone once, and I didn't know him. But I guess the thing is, I have been obsessed with the Monkees since I was about 8 years old. So for the last 30 years, they've been a big part of my life. And it kind of, and I know everything about them. I know more about them than they know about themselves, right? But it still doesn't explain why I would sob like that. And it makes me think that maybe, possibly, probably, I was crying for something else.
Mm.
Now, I don't know what that is. Maybe it's kind of like a broken relationship with my dad, which isn't particularly good. Maybe it's I'm crying for the 8-year-old that was me. I don't know. But I was sobbing like a baby.
It is, you know, when someone from your youth dies, that, you know, when Jimmy Savile went, I was sad about it because he's part of my youth, you know, watching him on a weekend. But I didn't cry because... You know, it's just a celebrity. It's not someone I know. Your spokesman's makes it more real for you. You come up to the person, so it makes it a bit different for that. But you know,
it was weird with the Jimmy Savile thing. I don't know. Was he in an open coffin and old people could go and see him or something? I might be wrong, but definitely that old people could go and look at his coffin, and there was a queue to go and see Savile's coffin.
I don't get why do you want to see a dead person? You know, it's not like they're going to be smiling and happy. They put a lid on and let them go sort of thing. I don't get the open coffin when anyone dies. It's just weird looking at a dead person.
Have you ever had a relative pass away?
Yes, yeah, I have.
And did you go and see their body?
No, I didn't want to remember them like that. I remember the good times.
It is strange. I remember when my granddad died, I went and saw the body, and I sort of wish I hadn't, because it wasn't him at all. Of course it wasn't him, it was just this
but it's a weird one. Some people find it very comforting. And in kind of continental cultures, they sit with the body. We talk about Jimmy Savile. He sat with his mum when she died for about 3 days.
Yeah. To me, that would be your last memory of the person. And I don't, you know, when my grandparents died, I didn't want it to be that. I wanted to be the times when they were out doing things. That's my last memory, and not them white in a coffin. It's not right. It's not truly the last memory of that person.
Listen, I'm going to move on because we've got loads of calls. Thank you very much for that. Line two, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Well, the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. A man is born, he's a man of means. Then along come two, and they got nothing but their genes. Because it takes different strokes, it takes different strokes, it takes different strokes to rule the world. Over to you, Ian.
Thanks very much. This is fun, this, isn't it? Let's try line three. Line three, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
It's the man who's being chased by things. I just want to say, I'm not a fan of goats, but I appreciate people that are. But I don't understand why you must keep going on about them on your show.
I've not mentioned goats at all. Hello? He's gone. What a delightful fruitcake. Let's try line two. You're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Hello again. It's Jonathan again.
Hello, Jonathan.
I'm actually going to be in the Olympics.
line three. You're live on the internet. Who is this, please?
Hello, it's Charlotte from Basildon.
Hello, Charlotte from Basildon. How are you? Oh, my.
I'm fine, thank you.
What's that? What's going on there? Have you just flushed the toilet or something?
No, it's my laptop fan.
Your laptop fan? Jeez, that's the noisiest thing in the world.
Oh, no, it's really noisy, sorry.
That's all right, Charlotte. Whereabouts are you calling from?
Basildon.
Oh, you just said, I think you may have just said that. What can I do for you this evening, Charlotte?
I'm just going to say that I agree with you about the TV. There's never anything on.
It's all rubbish, isn't it? What they should do is they should get rid of... I'm seriously thinking of getting rid of my Sky. They should get rid of all the channels and we should go down to... I'll give you three channels. We should go back to three channels. And that way, the TV companies would be forced to put good stuff on.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I watch Come Dine With Me, but that's about the only good thing.
I've gone off Come Dine With Me a bit. Maybe it's because I was on there and I look like an idiot. I don't know. But
I watched that one. It was pretty funny.
It was a funny one, wasn't it? I didn't enjoy the week, but I thought the show was excellent. But I think Come Dine With Me has kind of peaked. I got into The Hotel. Did you watch The Hotel?
No, I didn't.
I got into that, and then on the special the other week, they kind of, after two series, announced that the guy owned two other hotels, thereby removing all Jeopardy from the show. But there's nothing that I would sit down... My Sky Plus box is empty. There's nothing that I'd sit down and watch.
No, I mean, I have Virgin, and there's never anything on. I'm flicking through channels for ages, and there's never anything.
So you're sat in front of the telly, flicking away, and it's not doing anything for you.
No, nothing. I mean, I used to watch EastEnders as well, but that's just the other one.
Oh, come on, man. EastEnders is utter, utter tosh.
Yeah, I agree.
Charlotte, lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much. Let's go to line seven. Line seven, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Rent a Ghost.
Lovely. Line nine, you're live on the internet. Who is this, please?
Ian, how you doing? It's Sean.
Hello, Sean. What can I do for you, fella?
Yeah. I just wanted to chat to you about watching old kids' classics again when you're older.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that goes over your head when you're a kid. You watch it again, and there's a lot of bad things that happen in films like Home Alone.
Well, what bad things happen in Home Alone?
It's the worst mother ever. She let her kid out of her grasp three times.
She's hot though, isn't she? The mum in Home Alone.
She's hot. I think she's got a drink problem as well. Watching it again.
Yeah, that's possible.
Uncle Buck as well. He goes to the toilet next to a 6-year-old, I think.
That's inappropriate.
That is really inappropriate.
I think we'd all agree that that's not good.
It's not good. No, it shouldn't really be done. And the last one, Ferris Bueller went to pick up his girlfriend dressed as his dad, and really goes over the top, touching and feeling her up in front of her principal. He just watches it.
I'm having a lot of fun this evening. I hope you're enjoying the show. Line nine. Nine, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Hi, Ian.
Yes?
Hello, mate. Yeah, it's Ben from Crookham. How's it going?
It's we're getting there, Ben. We're getting there.
Yeah, that sounds good, mate. Same here. I'm calling up to talk about how shit TV is at the moment.
Okay, go on.
Can I say shit?
Well, I can cut it out.
All right. Yeah, basically TV went down for me when once Robot Wars came off, more specifically when Philippa Forrest had that baby of hers, ruined it for me.
Who replaced Philippa Forrester on Robot Wars?
Oh, you know, I stopped caring, so I couldn't tell you, mate.
I'm going to have a little Google, because it was they tried to get someone like her in leather trousers and stuff, and it didn't really work.
I wouldn't say Lisa Tarbuck, but I know that's not right.
You know it's not. You know it's not her. You totally know. Oh, Jane Middlemiss.
Jane Middlemiss, that's it. That was it. Yeah.
In some ways, that works even better.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know, Philippa Forrester always had that sort of schoolboy crush for me, like Katie Hill.
Philippa Forrester was like a schoolboy to you?
No, she didn't look like a schoolboy. I had a school crush on her.
Okay, well, excellent. Well, thank you so much for calling.
All right, cheers, mate.
Oh, I thought I cut you off. Let's try line nine. Nine, you're live on the internet. Who is this, please?
Hi, my name's Phil.
Hello, Phil. What can I do for you?
Oh, my question is really, is Barry likes to recycle a lot of his material.
Yes.
My main question is, how come he keeps recycling his age?
He's been 80, was it 82? Is that what he is?
He's been 82 for the last, 10 years.
He's been like that for a while. Next time he calls in, I will ask him. Thank you very much for calling. Let's try line three. Three, you're live on the internet. Who is this?
Hello, Ian. It's Gavin again.
Hello, Gavin again. What can I do for thee?
Well, actually, I don't know what the topics are.
Ah, well.
Could you run me through?
No, I can't. You'll have to go and look at them online. Line three. Three, you're live on the internet. Who is this, please?
Hello, it's Brad from Bristol.
Hello, Brad from Bristol. What can I do for you?
Well, I was just ringing up about the topic about the TV programmes.
Yeah, go on. They're rubbish, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah, at the moment, yeah, but back, a couple of years ago when American sitcom Scrubs, if you watched it.
Yeah, I watched Scrubs, I don't get it. I've watched quite a few episodes of Scrubs. I've got a cousin who's a doctor, and he thinks it's hilarious, and I don't get it. There's no jokes in it.
Yeah, there is jokes.
Where?
There are jokes.
Where are the jokes?
There's a lot. It's just about, obviously, about JD's personality, really, isn't it? The whole thing.
Right.
But is like the awkward situations he gets into are the best.
Well, that's what comedy is about. Situation comedies are about awkward situations.
Yeah, and he seems to get himself into quite a lot.
But they're not funny. They're just awkward.
No, I reckon they're hilarious. The stuff he does. The little I can't think of the word. Like his little visions and stuff.
Yeah,
they're called now. But I've been watching it. I should see a doctor really because I think I'm addicted to watching it. It's getting pretty bad, but I've been watching
it. And when you say you're addicted to Scrubs, how does this manifest itself? How often are you watching Scrubs?
I probably watch 2 or 3 episodes a day.
Wow, really?
On a night, because obviously I work throughout the day, so when I come home and get in bed at night, I'll watch 2 or 3 episodes. And
can I ask you a question?
Go on.
Don't be offended. Are you single?
It's complicated.
Oh, go on. Why is it complicated? Have you murdered her?
What? No.
No, I'm not saying that for a second. Not yet. Oh, God. What? Oh, please don't, because this tape will be played in a court of law as evidence. I don't want that happening again.
Yeah, okay.
What, so why is it complicated?
It's just a little bit rocky at the moment. That's...
Oh, man. Well, so... do you want to sort it out or not?
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Not obviously. Sometimes I've been in rocky relationships and kind of thought, actually, I don't think I want to sort this out. I think this is it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I felt like that a little bit lately, but... I don't know. We were together before, and then we broke up for about 9-10 months. And then
Who broke it up the first time?
Me.
Okay. And did you go and see someone else? Yes.
Nah. I haven't. I was single for 9 months, and it was a birthday in December. So on Facebook, obviously,
you had a birthday bunk up.
Birthday message. Yeah. And,
and you're regretting it now, aren't you?
I'm not regretting it, not at all. Well, it's just gone a bit bad, a bit pear-shaped. So
She's gone pear-shaped. Brad, listen, can you give me a call in a week or so and let me know how it goes?
Yeah, I will do it.
All right, fella, I wish you the best of luck. I hope you know, that whatever is meant to happen, happens. Line three. Three, you're live on the internet. I'm going to try something here. Let's go to line six. Six, you're through to three. Say hello to each other.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hello.
Hello.
Is that Louise? It's... Yes, it's Eloise.
Who is it?
Hello? It's Eloise.
Is it Gary Katona?
No, it's Eloise.
Is it Jodie Marsh?
No, Eloise.
Is it Gary Wilmot?
No, it's...
Is it Henry Kelly?
Yes. Crazy.
Line two. Two, you're live on the internet. Who is this, please?
It's Gavin. I'm at a castle.
Right, what can you see?
Fog. Everywhere.
Okay, take two steps forward.
Okay.
And say hello to line seven.
Hello, line seven.
The bloody phones, Ian. Oh, bloody hell, I'm in character. Hey, are you alright?
Hello, how are you?
You alright?
Oh, I'm fabulous. Is that Eloise again?
How's it going, mate? You alright?
Oh, it's brilliant.
It's Numbnuts. He's pressing the wrong buttons with his big sausage fingers.
Oh, I know. He's got Rob massive.
Burnett? Is it who?
Is it Rob Burnett? What?
Yay! How are we doing?
How's it going, mate?
Does anyone want to start a barbershop quiet or go on pointless? Because they're my two New Year's resolutions. So if anyone wants to come with me, it'd be awesome.
I don't know about the barbershop thing, but pointless, we're up for it.
Yay!
Go on, then.
What?
Sing.
Sing?
Come on. I might be swayed into joining it. How good are you?
Should we do a tribute to David Jones?
Let's do it.
And here we go. Walking down the street. We'll get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Come on, Ian. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. People, they were walking around. We're too busy singing. Come on! Slow anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Come watch the game play. We're the young generation. And we've got something to say.
We're the monkeys. We're just the monkey around.
Come on, boys. We're too busy singing. Don't let anybody down. Good time.
There you go.
To be friendly. It's over there. It's over.
Take the last train to Clarksville and I meet you at the station. Be there by 4:30.
If that's 40, because I'm your reservation. Don't be slow.
I turn off the lights and I will glow to the extreme. I've got a mic like a vandal, not on the stage, make a stroke like a candle. Yeah.
Dad.
Bring back Rob Walding.
Line three, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
It's Paul.
Hello, Paul. What can I do for you?
I think the Olympics are fantastic.
Why? They're boring. They're rubbish. It's sports. It's people jumping and throwing things. Who cares?
But you get a fancy little show at the start and the end, you know, it's a lot of fun.
You get a fancy little show that's cost about £500 million.
I know. But the last time we had it was, what, 1950? You know, it's a big world event to have here in England.
But it's pointless. There's literally no point. They haven't sold anywhere near enough. All the hotels, right, put their prices up, thinking we're going to do huge business.
Yeah.
Most of the hotels' rooms are still unbooked. But no one's coming.
People waiting, thinking they'll drop the prices, but they won't. But that's what they're thinking.
No one is coming. No one. Are you going to go and see the Olympics?
I tried to get tickets, but I couldn't.
Exactly, because it's a con. It's a huge con. You never stood a chance of getting tickets for anything.
But it was a fairly allocated ticket system.
The men's 100 meters final, 100 meters final, which I believe is the hot ticket, despite it being the quickest race, right?
Yeah.
Something like 60% of those tickets did not go to the public.
No, they went to Visa and all that corporate hospitality.
They went to Ronald McDonald. Seriously, pretty much. How is that fair? How is this the People's Olympics if a giant psychedelic clown is going to take most of the seats?
But you can argue that for any event, anything.
No, you can't.
Music, any sport.
You can't argue that for any event. Any event you can go and buy tickets for.
But, you know,
Champions League final last year, held at Wembley. Monster Stadium was through to sponsors again then. You know, it's always the case. It's how they fund the events.
Right, not, but I bet the tickets. I bet the tickets at that football match. What was the percentage of the tickets that were given or sold to members of the public? MOTP.
I think each team got 35,000 allocated right. for each club.
Right, so that's 70,000 tickets.
Yep.
How many does it hold?
About 90.
So that's still 20,000. So that's what's that? That's about 25%.
Yeah.
So that's still better than the 60% for the Olympics. Would you like to bow out?
Would you like to bow out of
this argument now?
I'm not disagreeing with you. Yes, the corporate get a lot of tickets, but they're paying a lot of money for that, and we still get a chance to go and watch 9 seconds worth of running.
But you're going to watch it at home on the telly, right? So it could be anywhere in the world.
It could be, but it's in England. It's a chance to show off what we've got here.
Okay, well, I will speak to you at some point after the Olympics, and you will be proved wrong. Thank you very much for calling. Take care. Ta-ta.
Yes, thanks. Bye.
Line three, you're live on the internet. Who is this, please?
Oh, hello, it's Ricardo.
Ricardo, what can I do for you?
How are you anyway, Ian?
I'm getting by.
Are you bearing up?
I'm a little bit down, and I've been working the last 2 days, so I've not been able to focus my thoughts on the loss of Davy Jones.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that.
I'm gutted, but
as soon as I heard about that, I thought of you. I know that sounds a bit weird.
No, it doesn't. You're the second person to call in tonight and say that, so I appreciate people out there considering my feelings at this time.
No. That's genuine as well. It's not like anything dodgy or anything.
I'm
like
not
that.
Saying for a second. By anything dodgy, do you mean sexual? Because I'm not for a second implying that you fancy
me.
That's what you went there.
You went there.
You got your keys out, opened the front door, and said, "Have a look at that." And I looked in there, and that's what I saw.
I merely stated that there's something on the blackboard. I don't think we should look at it.
Well,
and think it was something that the other kids done when we weren't even in there.
And it was exactly. Anyway,
a short drawing. Anyway.
I know. I I'm trying to keep this clean because we've got young ears listening to this.
No, that's fine. And this is all good. I was just
yes.
It was funny. I had some posh crisps. A couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And I remember a conversation we had many, many moons ago.
Yes.
About you getting posh crisps from one of your agents.
You don't mean news agents, you mean work agents.
I think it was Walker Sensations.
Well, posh crisps?
You had some posh crisps at a posh hotel and you were like, those were the best crisps you ever had in your life.
I don't remember what those crisps were, but I tell you what crisps I don't like, because they're not really crisps. It's the ones that are made from vegetables. I don't like the vegetable crisps, and they taste all perfumey. That's not crisp.
Who tries to sell you these?
I don't know, but you go to places. Maybe we're moving in different circles, Ricardo. I hobnob, right? And
I think, yeah, we don't always move in the same.
No, world. I mean, I am, you know, quite middle class, and you are very, very common. And you would not get invited to. For example, I'm going to be going to the.
I'm just chuffed. I've got a mobile phone.
Well, and you have to nick that. I will be going to the screening. The screening of episode one of The Apprentice, and I suspect there will be these vegetable crisps available there. Yeah.
What, as part of one of their tasks?
No, as nibbles.
For
the guests, nibbles for the guests. Yeah.
Oh, what do you think their first task will be? Saying, like, washing cards?
I think it'll be strangling chickens.
You reckon?
That's the rumour going round, yeah, that they'll be strangling chickens.
Yeah, but
chickens.
They can't show that on live television. Well, not live.
Exactly.
But even pre-recorded television.
Well, of course they can.
No, not strangling chickens. That's just bonkers, man. I was wondering if you cut me off then. Oh God, where's Vinny or Barry from Watford? I think I'm talking to myself. Is this still going?
with the phone. I'm still connected. Oh, I think I've been cut off. Oh, this is scary. Oh, just go back to front skin on bloody room 101. Yeah, I might have to. Anyway, Ian, lovely to speak to you again. It's been, yeah, it's been far too long.
Well, that's pretty much a lot. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. There are going to be 12 episodes of this, I've decided, in Series 1. If you'd like to show your appreciation, I am now passing the metaphorical electronical hat. If you want to give us some money to say thank you very much, you're more than welcome to. You can pay via PayPal and send money to ian@ianlee.com. ian@ianlee.com. You don't have to. There's no obligation. Some people have been very, very generous and it's much appreciated, but I won't think badly of you if you don't. Time for some thanks. A big thank you to the Positive Internet Company for putting this online. The team at www.gak.co.uk for lending me the sound equipment to record this with. They've got a wonderful website full of geeky things and guitars and brilliant. Go and have a look. The music, the theme music is by a group called Chihuahua, but that's spelled Chihuahua, and it's awesome. And the music you're about to hear in the audio boo section comes from a guy called Michael Mucklow. And if you go to michaelmucklow.com, MUCKLOW.com, you can find some music there and tell him I sent you. Big thank you to balconyshirts.co.uk, who've got some awesome t-shirts. Go and have a look at the website, balconyshirts.co.uk, and if you enter the promo code Pocket Radio, you get 20% off everything they do, and they've got some excellent stuff. If you want to take part in the show, you're more than welcome to. You can give me a call when we do a phone-in. The Skype name is Pocket Radio Show. The phone number is 020-328-61483. 020-328-61483. Audio boos. I need your audio boos, please. audioboo.fm/Ian Lee. Follow me on Twitter, @IanLee. Join the Facebook page, facebook.com/IanLeeOfficial. There's also going to be a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Pocket Radio Show, where I will eventually get round to putting up some nice videos there. Don't forget to check out IanLee.com. Until next time, here are your audio boos.
I'm on the podcast.
Jackie Shroff is a bad man.
You're my honey bun, sugar pump, pump me, yummy, yummy, kid. You're my sweet pie. You're my puppy cake, gumdrop, snookum, snookum. You're the apple of my eye. Cause I love you so, and I want you to know that I'll always be right here. That's why I sing this song for you, because you are so dear.
Good, yeah.
It is Ground Force now with Tommy Walsh and that bird who never wears a bra. Let it flop around and it land on the ground, and Tommy picks up a breeze block in his bloody hand.
Okay, so that was the show. Wasn't it a lot of fun? Next up, it's an interview I did with Michael Nesmith of the Monkees. I've been trying to get hold of him for years, and Eloise, who I was working with, got him. What I've also found, and I didn't know I had this, is kind of the 3 minutes chat that we had before the interview, where we kind of, he asked what the station was and what the interview was going to be about. So I'm going to whack that on. This has never been heard before. So I'm putting this on. I've listened through it. I don't think he says anything that he would be particularly upset to be released out into the wild. It just shows him as kind of being a very good-natured gentleman who seems slightly bemused that people are interested in him, or at this time. Remember, this was before the Monkees did their 2011 tour, before Davey passed, and way before he even, you know, came over to the UK and did any concerts second time around. So here's the Mike Nesmith interview I did, starting off with 3.5 minutes of stuff that has never been broadcast before.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, I'm good.
Oh, good.
So, tell me a little bit about what you're hoping this interview will contain today.
Well, I've got Ian here with me, and he's probably a bit better person to explain it. He's a huge fan, so I'll leave it over to him to explain exactly what he wants to talk about.
Hello, Michael. This is Ian.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
I should apologise. I'm losing my voice at the moment, so I don't normally sound this husky and this Wolfman Jack in style. So,
Just the thing for a radio announcer, isn't it?
Exactly. I think it's going to get all the girls fancying me. Hey, listen, basically, I'm a huge fan, and I'm keen to talk about whatever you want to talk about and not talk about stuff you don't want to talk about. So I'd like to talk about your solo albums, some of the movies that you produced in the 80s, and also what you're up to now and what, you know, would you ever consider coming back to the UK, that kind of stuff.
What about the American Economic Development Package and the valuation of the currency.
We can talk about that if you want, sir. We'll talk about whatever you want. We can talk about the midterms and everything if you want.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. I think your listeners would really love it. I think we'd probably be able to clear everybody off the air in maybe 15 minutes.
So, shall we aim to do that, sir? Should we try and get rid of everybody that's listening as quickly as we can?
Well, we'll need to find some really, really obscure swear words from really odd languages and religions.
Well,
I have a picture of Muhammad that I could fax you if you wanted it. It's not very good. It's just something I drew up.
You drew it yourself. Send it over.
Yeah, well, it was just for a giggle. So,
send it over, for goodness' sakes. And also, Michael, I'm more than happy to do probably the first interview you've ever done where we don't mention that group you used to be in.
Which one's that, Ian? Which one would that be?
Weren't you in the Beach Boys for a period?
Ah, yeah, nice try.
I'm happy not to mention those at all if you want.
No, you can talk about whatever you want. You want to talk about the Monkees? That's fine. Tell me who your listeners are. Give me a sense of the age.
Range between sort of 15 and 55. They're primarily men. I'd say it's about 60% men, 40% women. The station is a sort of rock pop station that plays current music, but also specialises in sort of 60s, 70s, 80s classic sort of rock and pop as well.
Okay. That's what I needed. Well, so we'll go at 10 o'clock then? Is that what we're going to do?
Well, listen, Michael, we can either go now if you're ready to, or we can call you back at 10 and we can do it then, whatever you're happy with.
Well, if you'll give me, if I can put you on hold for about two minutes, we can go now. But I do have one thing to finish up.
Listen,
so
we'll wait here. You give us a shout when you're ready.
Michael, the other thing we wanted to ask was, have you got a particular song that in mind from any back catalogue, your whole entire back catalogue, that you would like us to play that you never hear on the radio or anything? Just if you can have like a little think about that, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm going to leave that to you.
Okay.
One of the things I learned a long time ago is never choose your own photograph.
Okay.
You want me to put you on hold, or you want to call me back in 5 minutes?
Should we call you back in 5 minutes? How about that?
That sounds good. Give me a second to finish some stuff up here, and call me back in. Call me back in five.
Okay, Michael. Speak to you soon.
Bye.
Bye, Ian. Bye.
Recording.
Have you dialed?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No, not yet. Now I'm dialing.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Michael, it's Ian again. Are you free?
I am.
Lovely. Then let me just introduce you, and we shall crack on with this. Very, very excited. Our next guest calling us live all the way from L.A., which I believe is in America.
Not L.A.
Oh,
Ian.
Where are you?
Monterey, California.
Oh, excuse me, sir. Well, the voice you heard there—it's Michael Nesmith in Monterey. I do apologize.
That's all right.
How is Monterey today, Michael?
It's exquisite, beautiful. It's 72 degrees, perfectly clear. The only thing I can see in the sky are contrails of the high jets.
Man, I hate you. We're here in London. It's cold. It's dark. It's horrible out there.
Oh, I feel so bad for you, Ian. You just can't imagine.
Michael, listen, you're sounding very well. I'm hoping my voice will hold up for this interview because I'm kind of losing my voice. But what are you up to at the moment?
Right now I'm writing email.
Really? Well, you're a big fan of the email. We've been getting some lovely emails from you, which Eloise has been very excited about every time one has popped up.
Yeah, people are always really surprised when I actually answer my own email. But in order for that to happen, you have to have my private email address, just like you have to have Obama's private BlackBerry address, and I don't give that out.
Have you got Obama's private address?
I do, in fact, yeah. He and I talk all the time, and he asked me to pass on his... well, let's see, what was he said? What he said when I said I was talking to Ian... He said, oh, yeah. He said, something like that. I can't really put the words to it, but something like that.
It was that kind of tune.
It was, yeah.
Michael, now listen.
He listens to your show every day. I don't know whether you know that.
I did not know that. I'm a little bit embarrassed now because I don't know if it's good enough for the President of the United States of America.
I'd give him a shout out, Ian. I'd do it right now.
Okay. Big up yourself, Barack Obama. I think he'll like it. I think he'll like it. Michael, listen, I'm a huge fan of your solo music, and I think you kind of go unrecognized for... I would say you were one of the pioneers of country rock music.
Okay.
Well, I think Gram Parsons kind of gets... and Gram Parsons did a lot of great stuff, but I think he gets all of the attention because he's, you know, of the sexy story, but you get overlooked a little bit.
He's what?
You get overlooked a little bit, I think, in the history of country rock.
Given the rocket ride that I got with the Monkees, I think I probably get all the attention I need, and so people probably bypass some of these later things.
Does that frustrate you? I'm thinking specifically of the Country Trilogy album, the Loose Salute, Magnetic South, and Nevada Fighter, and all the other albums. They get overlooked a little bit in that huge shadow of the Monkees.
Not really. I mean, you know, it just is what it is, and it's It was the work, you know. When you do the kind of stuff that I do, which is kind of hang out on the front edge of things, that's the fun. That's the reward of it. Not whether people know that you did it or not. It's whether you know that you did it, and that's what's really good to me. You know, this boxed set that's coming out from the Zigzag concert.
I've heard this. Yes.
Yeah, have you heard that?
I've not. I've heard it's coming out. I'm going to try and get it today. In fact, on my way home.
Well, it's an interesting piece because. The First National Band, John Ware and John London, we'd all gone our separate ways, and so me and Red Rhodes, the steel player, just did it, the two of us there at the Roundhouse. And who else? There was a bunch of other really good players on that particular show. And they recorded it in a pristine, perfect package, and now it's coming out, and it's getting some good reviews and what have you. But I remember going back, you know, at the time, thinking how much fun it was and how interesting it was just to play alone on the stage with Red Rhodes, you know, this master of the steel player.
Oh, fantastic, yeah.
And how fulfilling that was, you know. Well, that went unnoticed now for, what, 3 decades? But I still had it was one of the best times I ever had playing.
I have heard a couple of tracks from the album, and it does sound, it's just that beautiful kind of stripped-down sound. And you're right, Red Rhodes, what a fantastic steel player.
Yeah,
and the two of you together, it's a great sound, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Red was, rest his soul. He was really just, in the zone somewhere. Yeah. One of the things he had going for him was that he was a virtuoso, so he could play everything that he thought.
Yeah.
And that was a great point of departure, but it's really just a threshold that you have to go over. And it was the excursions that he took from there into these just magic lands of tonality and the sonics that he explored and so forth that made him who he was. He was really something to work with.
Now
it was a good time too. He smoked more dope than any man I ever knew.
and you knew Jimi Hendrix, for goodness sake, so he must have been doing well. Now, you mentioned the Roundhouse, which is a gorgeous sort of venue just up the road from us in Camden.
Oh, it is. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not far from us. In fact, Eloise and I were in the Roundhouse just a few weeks ago at some weird awards ceremony. So
is it still a venue? Do they still do shows there?
Yeah, they still do shows there. It's a gorgeous venue. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I remember loving it. It was really great. It was an old train station, right?
I think so. It's something. I'm not quite sure of the history. But David Byrne from Talking Heads did a brilliant installation there a few months ago.
Oh, yeah.
He rigged up a keyboard in the middle of the roundhouse, and it was connected to all of the pipes around the building. And you could play the building.
Ah, cool. Yeah, good old wonderful. David, yeah.
Would you? Are you ever gonna? Do you do concerts anymore? Have you kind of knocked that on the head?
Well, no, I play all the time, but you know, usually just in the living room for my friends. First of all, nobody asks me to come play, so there's that.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is that you know, playing live is something that you have to really do regularly. It's, you know, you don't just jump up and go play. It takes a lot of stamina and there's a lot of physical effort involved with it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm in great shape, but I would have to get back toned up before. And so I just haven't really done anything live. But I love to sit around the living room, play with friends, and play for friends and so forth. A guy came over the other day whose birthday it was, and I forgot to get him a present, so I sang some of Shelley's blues for him live.
Man, fantastic! How cool is that?
Yeah, it was great. Made him cry.
can I listen, Michael? Can I come over one day and watch you sing some of Shelley's blues
on your birthday? Yeah, you can do that.
I'm going to hold you to that, sir. I'm going to turn up June the 9th next year, knocking on your door.
Okay, let me make a mark here. June 8th.
June the 9th. June the 9th.
No. June 8th. Leave town. Since Ian will be here June 9th.
I've got to say, Michael, when I was growing up, I'm 37 now, so I kind of was conscious in the 70s, just, I was terrified of the video you did for Rio.
You were?
Yeah, it was really freaky. I mean,
Somebody called it sordid at one point.
it's kind of the reflective glasses, that bit where you're getting dragged across the dance floor, it's the shoe, it just terrified me, man.
Wow, you must have had an interesting childhood.
It was kind of quite interesting. When you did the video for Rio, which is kind of one of the first, if not the first, non-performance pop video, did you realize that you were inventing a genre, or did it just seem natural for you to do that?
No, I actually realized it, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it before I did it. I did it while I was, it dawned on me while I was doing it and kind of after. What happened, you know, continuity is a really important part of movies. You know, you have to have a narrative structure so people can follow where the people are and in the timelines. And there's even a person on the set who does continuity and make sure that all the shots match.
Mm.
And with this, what had happened is we had all these disparate shots that to the director and the people around didn't seem to fit. And when we got into the edit bay, I said, okay, well, let's just lay the music down first, and then we'll just start dropping the shots in on top of it. And every time we dropped another shot that didn't have any continuity or any relationship to the one in front of it, suddenly the music smoothed all that over.
Right.
And it became the narrative thrust of it became the music, and the pictures became, you know, an adjunct to that. And as that began to develop, we all went, wait a minute, this is a different kind of film grammar.
Yeah.
So it was a discovery. I mean, it wasn't, you know, anything that I created or innovated. It was just a discovery that we all sort of made at the same time. But by the time we were finished editing it, the whole edit facility, everybody had come out of the bays and out of the edit rooms, and we were all standing around watching it like, you know, some giant new egg that had come in from outer
How
space.
How exciting.
It was a lot of fun. The next move, of course, was to say, well, all right, is this really a principle? Is this really a new part of the film grammar? And so can we do it on purpose?
Mm.
And we tried to, and the next one was Cruising.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it turned out to be, you know, a very dependable, reliable way of doing it. And that's the way people still do film music videos.
It is the way. And I remember sort of in the 70s, it just being such a shock that suddenly there's a clever, slightly arty, slightly amusing film as well behind a pop song, and it's not just people miming up on stage.
No, well, it was, you know, it was finding that spiritual connection between the lyrics and the music and the visual images that was so much fun. It was a really creative enterprise. I was working with some very bright and intelligent people who had great ideas, and you know, film is a collaborative effort. So that was a terrific experience.
I have to say, Rio is one of my mum's favourite songs as well.
No, so, it is. Well, bless her heart.
She's got good taste. Michael, how did that... Was Rio the starting point? Because you kind of developed MTV, didn't you?
Well, yeah, MTV flowed from that early video.
Mm.
But, you know, when something as big as MTV comes along, it has 1,000 fathers. So I kind of made the idea up for 24-hour television music programming and so forth.
That's
and I sold that idea to Warner Brothers and American Express. But, you know, at the end of the day, there were literally hundreds of people who came on and refined it and made it better and made it what it was. So I don't know, you know, you could ever call it inventing it or coming up with it, but certainly part of the, you know, early fathers.
Raise was the last album, I think, a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Lovely, fantastic. Are you going to do any more records?
Well, I'm in the middle of one right now, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm at a point, you get to the point in your career where, career, as we laughingly call it, you know, you're mature, you have different agendas, you've got different value sets and skill sets, and so I don't know what'll happen with this particular music, whether I'll put it out or do anything with it. The Ray's laid around the house for, you know, a few years before I ever put it out.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're...
this one will too, I think. Although one of the things I'm doing, I have a website called Video Ranch.
Yeah.
I have two. One's VideoRanch3D.com, which is a virtual world, and then I have VideoRanch.com, which is kind of a place where you can just go and buy stuff and get all my stuff in. And on VideoRanch.com, what I'm doing is I'm putting up that album kind of piecemeal.
Right.
You know, putting one song up at a time, and I'm even putting up some of the song sketches.
Okay.
So you'll be able to buy everything, all the little stuff that goes along with it, and that's sort of my plan right now, is over the next year or two to just put things up, even if it's me sitting around the studio with my guitar and making the song up in the first song sketches. I'm probably going to put those up there as well.
Fantastic.
We'll see what happens with that. You know, so far, nothing's happened with any of it.
but that's how a lot of sort of artists are getting their music out there now, is by not going to record labels, but putting them on websites and allowing people to download them from there.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and that's what VideoRanch.com is about. That's what, you know, you can jump on there and go look at the downloads and special download sessions, although they're not free. You know, I charge for them.
Well, good for you, sir. Good for you.
Yeah. No, I don't do it for free. But,
no, as you should not. The 3D website, you have, like, live concerts and things there, do you?
Yeah. Well, VideoRanch 3D is quite a different thing. It's a virtual world into which there are live video performances embedded in such a way that they appear as if they're inside the world. But the cool part of it is that there's a virtual audience. Everybody goes in as an avatar, and they stand around. You can see the members of the audience that you're with at the same time that you're seeing the person that's performing and playing.
Yeah.
And the person that's performing and playing can see you at the same time.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, it's fully multiplexed, and so you can converse with the person that's playing through chat. Chat's the lingua franca, and you can say things, request songs. There's you can even ask them to sign an album for you. And, you know,
hang on, how does that work? This sounds insane now.
It is kind of insane. I mean, I feel a little bit like a mad scientist. Matter of fact, I have a mad scientist hat, which I'll send you, when is it, June 9th? I'll make sure you get that.
Are you sure you didn't take too much acid in the 60s, Michael? This sounds crazy.
No, it works really well. It's a you know, imagine a video game, you know, really just any video game that you can bring to mind. And so you're in there as an avatar and you're walking around, except suddenly you come into a venue like the Roundhouse and you look at the people that are on stage and you go, wait a minute, they're really up there. That's really a live video feed of them being up there. Well,
fantastic.
I wonder if my avatar can talk to them. And the answer is, yes, it can.
You can heckle from the internet. That's incredible.
You can indeed. Yep, you can heckle and you can make fun and you can really actually ruin people's lives if that's your idea.
The internet has ruined my life many, many times, so maybe it's not the best idea. You're not on Twitter anymore. You were Twittering for a while, then you stopped.
Well, what happened with Twitter, and I'm thinking about going back on, I have a Facebook page, which is, what is my face? Is it Michael Nesmith? I think it's just Michael Nesmith. I have a Facebook page, but the Twitter thing, what was happening is I started becoming very self-conscious about what I was writing.
Yeah.
And thinking, I'm doing this, you know, in a public venue all the time, and so it's making me think about what I'm writing, and I don't want to do that.
Right.
I want to have it be really spontaneous. And I tried to get over it And I couldn't. I couldn't get rid of the self-conscious effort. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to back out of this until I understand it better. Facebook is a little easier because I just don't write very much. You know, I'll post a picture every once in a while and do it that way.
And is it you that actually does the Facebook site, or have you got one of your many minions that updates it, pretends
no,
to be?
No, it's me.
Wow.
No, I do it. You know, same way I answer my own email.
Yeah.
I just don't tell anybody where it is.
Well, we're giving away your email address as a prize this evening, Michael, so we won't be doing that. Don't worry, that's top secret. Listen, I think one of the things that I think you kind of get overlooked for as well is I think you're a brilliant actor, and you talk about the monkeys and things like elephant parts and television parts. Is acting anything that you would ever consider going back to do?
Well, you know what? It's my first love.
Mm.
And I would not only consider it, I'd do it at the drop of a hat. And I go into town every once in a while, I start looking at the hats, none of them drop.
None of them drop?
Nope, nothing's happened, so I sit here unrequited. But I love the stage, and I love movies and television, and there was a time in the 70s when I was thinking about doing a series, television series, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But what, motion pictures and those kinds of things, that's another thing altogether. I just love it.
What kind of series would it have been? A sitcom?
It would have been a sitcom, yeah.
Wow, that would have been the coolest thing ever, man.
Not so fast, yeah. I'm not sure it would have been. You didn't get to read the script, I did.
Oh, really? What was it? Yeah. Was it you at home with the wife and kids and crazy things happened?
No, it was two divorced couples living across the street from each other.
It sounds hilarious.
It sounds awful.
One of my favorite films that you produced, because obviously you produced a lot of films in the 80s, Time Rider.
Oh, really?
I'm a big fan of time travel movies, and we did a show a few months ago where we did the top 10 time travel movies, and Time Rider came in, I think, about number 4 or 5.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's an
awesome
film.
Well, we sell Time Rider t-shirts at VideoRanch.com, so I'll make sure you get one of those next June 9th. But what people don't really seem to understand about Time Rider is that it was done lighthearted. It's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
And I sit in screening after screening, and nobody's laughing.
No.
And I think, oh God, well, all right, here I am.
Listen, if you've not seen the film, turn off now, because I'm going to ruin the ending. The bit when the guys are on that mountain and suddenly a helicopter comes up and shoots all the cowboys, that's hilarious.
That's a work of genius. I thought it was too.
but no one laughed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when she says to him, "Señor, where did you get this map?" And he said, "I got it at an Exxon station." I thought that was funny.
It's a brilliant film.
Well, thanks.
And
thanks.
Speaking of brilliant films, I am. You brought up the monkeys. I'm going to mention it. What are your feelings on Head?
Well, I thought it was a good movie. You know, it was the swan song. They're putting it out again in a retrospective of Rafelson's work.
So yes, I know it's with the Blu-ray and DVD with
that's
bits.
The Rhino set, right?
There's the Rhino.
Oh, it's Criterion. It's Criterion.
Criterion DVD, and Rhino have just released a 3-CD box set of the soundtrack.
Yeah, I did a commentary for the Criterion set.
Oh.
And so that's on there, and I think they actually got the other three guys to do a commentary as well, but I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, it's on the website, the other three. I'm not sure if it says that you're on there on the website. I shall have a look.
I am, yeah. Yeah, no, I did a commentary for it.
I think it's one of the greatest films, and it's got a huge cult status now, probably even beyond cult, because people recognize it as a classic film of the 60s. Was it what you expected it to be? Were you disappointed when it came out? Were you proud of it? What was the feeling?
Well,
the time?
I mean, the real answer is I didn't have a clue. I mean, I didn't, you know, at that age, at that particular time, I didn't understand the movie form very well.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was going on around me, and I didn't know how good those guys were, and I was just trying to get through the day doing the part of the job that I had to do. In retrospect, I can remember some really cool moments and so forth, but at the time, it was, you know, I was in a fog.
Yeah.
And it was fun, and I also understood that, you know, what everybody had sort of decided to do was to put the monkeys to rest. It was one of the first, you know, mass suicides by a rock group.
Well, literally, in that you all jump off the bridge, and of course, metaphorically, that it wasn't advertised as a monkeys film. It had a rating, so kids couldn't see it. It was a strange plan.
Yeah, no, it was definitely. Oh, it was a definite plan to bury the whole thing, take it down. to, you know, and then we didn't, you know, we didn't do anything else after that ever.
Now, listen, you've mentioned the Monkees, and I wasn't going to mention them because I kind
of... Okay, well, then I'll talk to you later. It was really great, and this has been really terrific.
He's going.
Go ahead.
No, it's just because I've always been led to believe that you were kind of quite reticent to talk about them and didn't really want to look at them anymore. Have you kind of mellowed?
No. It's another one of those myths. Right. They get started out there. You just don't believe that stuff.
Okay.
No. What do you want to know?
Okay, I will ask you one Monkees question, then we'll move on.
Oh, I don't take any Monkees questions, Ian. I'm sorry.
Oh, Michael, for goodness sake.
No, go ahead. I can barely speak.
Is it true that the four of you got...
No, I'm sorry, Ian. I really don't take any Monkees questions. No, I'm just kidding. I'll talk about the Monkees all you want. Go ahead.
I swear to God, if only David Jones had replied to the emails, this wouldn't be happening. Is it true?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ian.
Eloise, don't encourage him, for God's sakes. Did the four of you get together in 1974 to talk about a reunion, but you'd only do it if they made a movie? Is that true?
No, it's not true.
Okay, then. That's.
Oh, yes, it is true. Wait a minute. Yes, it is true. Oh, no, it's not true.
Oh.
No, it's true, Ian.
Hang on, let me just write this down. Michael Nesmith is the difficult monkey. Okay, right, we've got that. We've got that.
I learned all this from Eddie Izzard's Engelbert Humperdinck riff.
Michael, listen, it has been a pleasure to talk to you. Oh, is there any chance of you ever coming to the UK again? Because I know a lot of people would love to see you if it were to do interviews, to do a concert, to do anything. Is that ever going to happen?
Well, it's 100% chance. You know, I'm perfectly willing to do it, and I love England. I'm an Anglophile, and I love being there, and I love the water.
We got plenty of water here.
But nobody has asked.
Right.
So until that happens, you know, I'll just sit here.
Okay. Listen, this is the deal. We'll book the roundhouse again. You can come and sleep in my spare room in my flat. My wife won't mind, and I'll feed you. How about that?
Wow. Well, it's a start. But actually, I don't talk about the Monkees, Ian.
Michael Nesmith, also, just one final thing. Thanks ever so much to Betty, your dear mother, for inventing what we call Tippex over here, liquid paper.
God bless her wherever she is.
It's one of the top pub quiz questions here. If ever there's a quiz show or something, whose mother invented Tippex? So it's
there you go.
It's fantastic. Michael, go on, sorry.
She's smiling somewhere.
I'm sure she is. Michael, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. And
it's my pleasure.
I hope
Happy
we get to see you over
it.
Here sometime in the future.
And love to all.
Michael, that was great, man. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
That was a lot of fun.
My pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed it.
I did.
I'll send you the link to the podcast and things.
Fine. Very good.
Like
Thanks, Eloise.
Thank
Bye,
you
Ian.
So much.
Thanks, Michael. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
That was great.
He was hilarious. I totally fucked my voice now.
I can't hang up.
That was hilarious.